history, he was a survivor of all the apostles. All of them were martyred except John. And he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and lived, according to the best records, past 90 years of age. And he begins, if you look with me at verse 1, he begins this general epistle as he began the Gospel of John, talking about Christ, the Word. He says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Word. That's the way he began the gospel according to John. Turn to John 1. Let's look at how he began what they call the Gospel of John. He says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And down in verse 14, and he said, and the Word of life, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here in our text tonight, in the beginning was the Word, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the Word of life, that which was from the beginning, that which was. He was before all things. Like he started John, let's look at this again. In the beginning was the Word. When things began, he was already there, the Word of God. When things began, he was with God. In the beginning of all things, he was God. See that he was God. In Proverbs 8, let's look at this a minute along what I'm saying right now. Proverbs chapter 8. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and that which was from the beginning, which was from the beginning, we declare unto you. Look at Proverbs 8. This is Christ speaking. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Proverbs 8:24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So you get the picture. It's the Trinity. Let's go to 1 John 5 a minute. John deals with this. No man can explain the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But we know it's a fact. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, Son, and Spirit. And here in 1 John 5, verse 5. Now who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now listen. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And that's what John is saying in this first verse of his general epistle. He's saying, that which was from the beginning, the Son, the Son. All right, let's look at the verse 1 again. Now, something else here. That which was from the beginning was God, was with God, and all things were made by Him. Now, watch this. Which we have, says four things, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have touched. Now, what he has said there in the beginning, that Jesus Christ is God, God Almighty, God Almighty, eternal God. And what he's saying here, that John is simply showing us our Lord truly, for a fact, really, became a man, flesh and blood and bones. That's what he's saying. He said, he's not a vision now. He starts out verse 1 of 1 John there, that which was from the beginning. And we've heard him. We've actually heard him with our ears, heard him speak, not just once. We heard him daily. We heard him daily. We heard him privately and publicly. We heard him. And we've seen him. We studied him. We looked upon him. We watched him. Morning, noon, and night for 34 years. We watched him. Not a vision, not someone that appeared to us. But we heard him. We saw him with our own eyes. We looked upon him, studied his every move over a long period of time. And we touched him. We actually held his hand, put our arms around him, and John leaned upon his breast, the real person. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born of a woman, made flesh, and dwelt among us. And he who was with God in the beginning was made flesh, dwelt among us. Second Adam. All right, verse 2. He calls him here the Word of Life in verse 1. The Word of Life. The Word of Life. And then he says in verse 2, the life. Not a life. The life. The life. The divine life. The eternal life. The life. The life was manifested. Actually made flesh. And we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, that one fountain of life, that one source of life, that one eternal life, which was with the Father, where we talked about in the beginning was the Word with God. And he was literally actually manifested to us, that life. I want you to turn to 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God, and this is eternal life. That's what we're talking about, he said. This is life. This is eternal life. That which was from eternity past. Who knows? Who can even estimate? With God. And he was manifested to us. And we saw him on a daily basis and heard him and looked upon him and touched him. And this life, the eternal, that eternal life was manifested. That eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. Manifested. Now, he is the eternal life because of four things. Number one, This is what John's been saying. He is the life, eternal life, because number one, he's God. He's the author of life. It's in him and of him. He's the only life. He's the only life. All life is from him, God. Secondly, he is eternal life because he has purposed and promised eternal life to his people. He is life. And he's eternal life to us because he purposed it and promised it to us. We didn't merit it or earn it or deserve it or even want it. But in himself, because of his own will, he purposed that we'd have life. And then thirdly, he has the power to give it. No one else has it. No one else has the power to give it or to attain it. But he has the power to give it. And he has the right to give it because of his redemptive work. He says over here in John 5, if you want to look over there for a moment, it'll give us a little more light on this. In John 5. John 5, verse 21. Listen to this. John 5, verse 21. Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Son. Because he's God. Because he's life. Because he purposed and promised it. Because he has the power and the right to give it. You quicken whom he will. You quicken whom he will. And then down in verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now here's the fourth reason. Verse 2 of our text, this life, divine eternal life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us, because he's God, because he's purposed and promised life for his people, all of them, because he has the power to give life and he has the right to give it, and then fourthly, because that life which is given is himself, sustained and perfected by him. Sustained and perfected through union with him. Now let me show you that in Colossians 3, verse 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You're dead. There's no life in you. No life in human nature. When Adam sinned, we died. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he's my life. He's your life. Then shall you appear with him in glory. Because he sustains it, perfects it, and glorifies it through a union with him. All right, let's look at verse 3 and 4. That which was from the beginning, Word was with God, was God, was manifested. That life. And that verse 3 which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you through preaching. Through preaching, and we declare it to you. And verse 4 says, and these things we write unto you. We declare it and we write it. And we declare his person, his office, and his work through preaching. What do we say? Well, we say he's the true God. God over all, blessed forever. He's the true God. That's where we start. And he's truly man, the second Adam, made of a woman. Made under the law. He's the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, promised, prophesied by every prophet of old. He's the only mediator, prophet, priest, and king. He's in sum and substance of all spiritual life, spiritual blessings, grace, and glory. And we've seen him. We've seen him. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him, we've seen him and we heard him and believe on him, hath everlasting life. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. We declare it. Now the two reasons, he said, why we declare this to you in verse 3 and 4. And here are those two reasons. We declare it and we write it. And here's the two reasons. We declare this gospel to you that you may have fellowship with us. That's why we declare it. That you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship with the Father. That's the first reason. That you may have fellowship with us. What is this fellowship? Well, the word is communion. Relationship. But here is this fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And with this which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What is this fellowship? Well, number one, the fellowship of Christ, the fellowship of the Father, is a fellowship with the covenant God. The covenant God. Warburton talked about the mercies of a covenant God. Covenant God. Turn to Ephesians 1. This is that covenant God. This is that fellowship with a covenant God. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might have fellowship with God the Father and His Son. Blessed be the God and Father of Jesus Christ. He's a covenant God. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's the first blessings of this fellowship, the mercies of a covenant God. Then secondly, we are sons, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's what he said over in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4, it's sonship. Sonship. Heirs of God, sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. God the Father and the Son. Who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, with heirs of God. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. What's this fellowship? That which we've seen and heard, that John says, I declare to you, that you may have fellowship with the Father, with the Son. Mercies of the covenant God. Mercies of it. It's sonship. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Turn to Galatians 4 and look at another scripture that has to do with this sonship. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, My Father, my Father. You're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. That's that fellowship. John says, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, was in the beginning. He was manifest. But that life was manifest to God. And I've heard him, and I've seen him. And I've handled him. I looked upon him. And I declare unto you that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship's with the Father and with the Son. Covenant God. Covenant God. Father. And it's a sonship. It's a relationship. Father and Son. We cry, Father. He's my Father. Christ said, I go to my Father and your Father. The disciples said, teach us to pray. He said, well, start this way. Our Father. That's fellowship. That's what I'm talking about, he said. Here's the third thing. Our lives are ordered and presided over by our Father. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're here. And your life and my life is presided over by him. That's what he said in Psalm 37. My Father, when an orphan is adopted into a family, father and mother become his father and mother. And from then on, his life is ordered and directed by that father. And this is the blessings of that fellowship. Look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man. That's a righteous man, a believer. The steps, every step. How many steps did I take coming in here tonight? How many steps did I take this morning? Yesterday. Yesterday's yesterday. 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 When I took my first step as a year old, my steps had been ordered by my Father. That's what he said. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered. They're established. They're ordained. They're ordained. That's what that word means. And he delights in his way. He delights in his people, in his sons. I delight in my sons. I delight in my grandsons, daughters. I delight in them. God delights in his son. He orders their steps. I can't order the steps of my sons. I wouldn't if I could, because I'd mess them up like I messed myself up. But my Father never messes anything up. He ordains every step. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way, and though he fall, he'll not be utterly cast down. You can't cast him down. You can't destroy him. You can't separate him from the love of God. The Lord uphold him with his hand. That's that fellowship we're talking about. Almighty God became a man. I saw him. That life, that eternal life, which I saw and heard, I declare unto you that your fellowship might be with him, the covenant God, the Father, and the Father who orders every step of his children. Boy, that's peace. That's comfort. And then third, fourthly, and we live here, and fourthly, we're reconciled to him. He's not angry. We're reconciled to him. We can nearer, still nearer. We can draw near to God. That's right. Draw near. Draw near. Christ has reconciled us to him. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. His banner over us is love. He loves you, Christ said, like he loves me. Father, thou lovest them as you love me. No one, God's not angry. His banner over us is love. We're reconciled. Come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and help. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. And then fifthly, we live here in peace. In a world of no peace, we have peace. That's right. Christ is our peace. In a world where men's hearts are like troubled seas, we have peace. It's all right. We have rest. Christ said, you come to me and I'll give you rest. There's no rest except in Him. There's no peace except in Him. We have contentment. Paul said, even down here in this prison, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. But I know how to be content. John Newton said, content with beholding His face, my all to His pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place is making a change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if He had dwelt with me there. We have peace, we have rest, we have contentment. We live without fear of death. No fear of judgment. There is no judgment to them who are in Christ. We live in hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory, a sure, living, blessed, good hope in Him. That's that fellowship. He said, look back at my text, this awesome message. Awesome. This is exciting. That which we've seen, the life, that eternal life, which verse 3, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship. Fellowship. We're not seeking to build a large church. I would tell everybody in the tri-state that. Or gain a personal following. John didn't say anything about building an organization. We're not in competition with other denominations or religious sects. We don't need anything. All our needs are supplied by our Lord. But our desire is that people to whom we preach and declare this gospel might have fellowship, this fellowship with a covenant God, with a heavenly Father, with the Lord who ordains the steps of His children, with a God who's reconciled with the blood of His Son, with a God who gives us a good, living, eternal hope in Christ Jesus. That's what we want you to have. That's it. And second thing is verse 4 says that your joy might be full. I challenge you to find that joy anywhere else. That peace, rest, contentment, freedom from fear, that hope, it's only found in Him. That's right. Philippians 3. This is what we want for ourselves, and this is what we want for those to whom we declare this message and write this gospel. Philippians 3, verse 8. Talked about it Sunday. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that what? I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship, the communion of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So verse 5 of my text now, that's we declare this gospel, we write it, and that's our twofold reason, that you might have fellowship Him. And if you have fellowship with Him, you'll have fellowship with us. Because we're the same body. And your joy may be full. That's our motive. In verse 5, he said, this then is the message. This then is the message. I just wonder if we could somehow get that across in this day when folks are trying to build religious organizations and enterprises and followings and numbers and get people saved. You trying to get them saved, or do you want to know the Lord? You want to change their way and do all these things. But our goal is that you may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and get joy before. Now this is the message. This is the gospel, the only gospel. This is the good news from a far country. This is the message which we've heard of Him. This is the message we heard from Him. This is the promise we heard from Him. This is the gospel we heard from Him, and we declare it to you that God is light. In Him there's no darkness, and such as walk in this light. Well, who is this light? We'll turn to John chapter 1 again. This is the way he started his other book, John chapter 1. God is light. What is this light? Who is this light? God is light. In Him there's no darkness. Look at verse 1 again, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. Who are we talking about now? Christ. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. That's the light, is Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a man sent from God whose name was John, and same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light. Who is that? Christ. That one who was in the beginning and who was made flesh, and we saw Him and heard Him. He's the light that all men through Him might believe. John was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. This is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But sad to say, He was in the world. The world was made by Him, but they didn't know Him. He came into His own, and they didn't know Him. But as many as received Him, those that have seen Him and heard Him and believed Him, Christ the light, to them gave He the power to become fellowship with God, sons of God. Sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. And these folks were born. They weren't born of natural genealogy and human blood. They were not born of the will of the flesh nor the will of man. They were born of God. Any doubt who that light is? God is light. In Him there's no darkness. Christ is wisdom as opposed to the darkness of ignorance. Everything out of Christ is ignorance. It doesn't matter what it is. Christ is light. In Him there's no darkness. The world is darkness. In it there's no light. Christ is holiness as opposed to the darkness of evil. Christ is the righteousness of God as opposed to the darkness of men's own works. Christ is the light of truth as opposed to the darkness of deceit. Christ is the light of the way of life as opposed to the way of death. Christ is the pure bread, the pure water of life. Christ is the message. Now, if we say, verse 6, that we have fellowship with God, this communion I'm talking about, this God, Father, Sovereign Lord, Master, fellowship with Him in union and holiness, all these things we talked about. And we don't walk in Christ. If we walk in the darkness of tradition, law, sin, human works, ignorance, We lie. And we do not the truth. That's just so. That's just so. We are sent and we are a witness to bear witness of that light, the true light. And he's the only way to the Father, and he's the only way of fellowship with the Father. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the light. That's the light. And those who walk in Christ walk in the light. And those who do not walk in Christ, the truth, the light, the door, the shepherd, the prophet, peace, priest, and mediator, they have no communion with God. Doesn't matter who they are. But verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with God. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2. These things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, I hope that's a blessing to you. I know that it is.